30 years ago tonight, student-led protests in the Chinese capital were brought to a shocking and bloody end. After weeks of demonstrations, the People's Liberation Army turned its guns on protesters outside of Tiananmen Square. Much of the rest of the world watched in horror as it played out in the news.
The noise of gunfire rose from all over the center of Peking. It was unremitting.
The BBC's Kate Adie was there.
After hours of shooting and facing a line of troops, the crowd is still here. They're shouting, "Stop the killing and down with the government." A huge volley of shots just as I left the front line caused panic.
It's easy enough to find out what happened during the Tiananmen crackdown in 1989. Go on YouTube, read news stories about the 30th anniversary. But not if you're in China. 6-4 or June 4th is one of the most politically sensitive phrases in the People's Republic. There's a censorship ban on pretty much all information about the Tiananmen massacre. But many Chinese people, of course, do manage to learn about what happened. Yang Chung is a scientist born and raised in China. She's currently a postdoctoral fellow at Cornell University. So, Yang, you were born the year of Tiananmen Square. How did you discover kind of the truth about 6-4?
So I first heard about 6-4 very randomly at a middle school English class when the teacher was trying to comment about the fate of a local university because it was impacted by the fallout of the late 1980s student pro-democracy movement. And when he just said the word 6-4 without any explanation or any context, and there was no follow-up. So I tried to ask my mother after dinner, and my mother basically gave a very simple, matter-of-fact, but also very stern response. She was like, "Students protested in the streets." And then in a very low voice, "I heard that the government opened fire." And then to shut down this whole conversation, certain things could never be said. Your teacher was too young. And that was the first and last time I asked about the state or the events around it when I was still in China.
You also wrote about the government in your diary. I think you learned another lesson from your parents about that as well.
Yes, and that's something I remember so well because I was only 8 years old when there was the first major Chinese leadership transition that spring. And so I saw it on the news and I heard some of the names, Li Peng, Zhu Rongji. I didn't really understand what their roles were. And I heard some of the names repeated at the family dinner table on the weekend. So I was very excited, and I just wrote about it in my diary. And the next day, my mother just crossed all those lines out with the darkest of ink, and I was only upset that she read my diary without my permission. But instead, it was a very important lesson for me that my mother taught me. You must never talk about the government, let alone put it in writing. You never know when the Cultural Revolution might happen again. And so the first time I actually learned about the truth behind the Tiananmen crackdown was after I've come to the United States in the fall of 2009 for graduate school.
And you found this documentary film about the Tiananmen protests and the crackdown called The Gate of Heavenly Peace. It is a powerful film, but for you, watching those scenes from that crackdown, what was going through your head?
This was an event, in a way, it was on one hand full of hope. On the other hand, it started with a state funeral with the death of former general secretary. And so the theme of death and remembrance was carried through this whole protest. And then later, students were putting on white ribbons with the word hunger strike on their foreheads, vowing that they are willing to give up their lives for freedom. So it was incredibly moving. And then finally, towards the later part of the film, when it was showing footage of the night of carnage, and I wrote an essay as well, that was when a dam just broke inside me because it exceeded my wildest imaginations of what the government had done and what it was capable of doing.
That essay you wrote, Yang, is at the China File website, and reading it kind of made me wonder how Tiananmen is viewed today. Let me bring in the China File editor, Susan Jakes. Susan, you put out a call for younger Chinese to give their own personal accounts about how they came to learn about this forbidden subject of Tiananmen. What kind of responses did you get?
So we were interested in hearing more stories like the one that Yang Yang just told from people who either hadn't yet been born in 1989 and grew up in China's education system, or maybe were very young, too young to have any kind of memories themselves. And another thing that really struck me in a lot of the accounts we received is the role of parents and the way parents struggle with the danger of telling their children and the risks of not telling their children the truth. So, you know, as parents in America, we might ask ourselves when it's appropriate to tell our kids about disturbing things, about violence or about injustice. But for parents in China post-1989, that's a question that's much more complicated because, you know, your child possessing that knowledge might impact their safety or the safety of your family. But I think what's really interesting is that ignorance can also entail danger. So one of the people that wrote in to us tells the story of her father, who was a journalist, and he comes home to their dinner table one night, and she's a journalism student at the time, and he's just heard that a Chinese newspaper had run a classified ad that read, "Paying tribute to the strong mothers of June 4th victims." And the newspaper editor in charge of reviewing and censoring the ad had let it run because she was young and she had no idea what it meant because she hadn't been taught in school. And then the father who's a journalist, says to his daughter, "I hope you're never stupid enough to do something like this. How could this editor have never heard of June 4th? And the daughter looks up at her dad and says, "What's June 4th? And he realizes that he's never told her himself.
Yang Yang Cheng, I'm curious, 30 years later, how much does this story still matter for people in China? Like, is there interest to know the truth?
I actually think there is a lot of curiosity, not just in the sense of the government's reactions and the bloody crackdown itself, but the whole protest and its aftermath. There is a lot of lessons that could have been learned had history been recorded and open for discussion and study. And so I think in a way, both the Chinese public and the Chinese academia, including the Chinese leadership, are being denied this incredible opportunity to learn from their own past and learn from what this country has experienced so that there could be more hope and a better pathway for the future.
I'm curious, if you were living in China today, and I don't know if you've got children, but if you had a child, would you tell them, as your parents told you, don't write 6-4 in a diary, don't write about the government in your diary, basically don't think about Tiananmen?
Yeah, so first of all, I am not a mother, so I think this is purely my speculation. So I'll put it this way. When my mother tried to censor my diary or forbid any discussion of not just 6-4, but any discussion of politics. And in a way, that was like a mother's way of protecting her child when she saw the Chinese government, almost like the forces of nature that can be just as cruel and also can be just as undefiable. But I would like to hope that with my personality and also with what I have known now, that it's a burden, a moral duty to carry on this memory. And I am a particle physicist, so my profession, I'm basically a historian and a record keeper of the universe. My profession studies the origin and the evolution of our cosmos by observing these tiny wrinkles in light and heat in our universe and recreating some of that conditions in our lab. So in that way, I do feel that I have a responsibility to our cosmological history. I also have a responsibility to the history of my country and my people. And so I would like to hope that there is an opportunity to share this information with my children if I were ever to become a mother, or simply just to keep this memory alive, so that our own bodies and our minds are a vessel for not just remembrance, but resistance against state power and time itself.
That's Yang Yang Cheng, scientist at Cornell, who wrote an essay on how she came to understand the Tiananmen crackdown of 1989. Susan Jakes is an editor at China File.